Very good. Yes. Yeah. No, the waves south of Kona were excellent this morning. It was hard to come back for this. But I'm here. We're on time. I'm just doing a poster. So anyway, we'll go with that. All right. So interspecific hybridization with a butylon menziesii there. So yeah, I worked on a lot of different crops over the years, either doing evaluation, breeding, selection, whatever. You notice at the top of the list there is a butylon. And so this is a butylon menziesii. This plant is actually a native. It's an endemic to Hawaii here. You can see the wonderful silvery foliage is a shot grown in our trial plots in Tifton, Georgia. And it's just a fantastic little landscape plant. Nothing eats it. It's pest-free. It has these little small flowers. And just a really wonderful plant that we had. And I don't know if Ryan remembers this, but when Ryan was working on his PhD work, we contacted some folks over here in Hawaii for some hibiscus brackenridgii, which is the state flower of Hawaii. And in the package with the cuttings of hibiscus brackenridgii came this little plant. And so it wasn't something that we had asked for or anything, but we got it, grew it out. And it's this great little plant. But it's got these really small little flowers, and it blooms under short days for us, at least in Georgia. And so we thought, you know, it'd be really nice to hybridize or do something with this, see what the possibilities were. So there's the Hawaiian name there. I won't attempt that. I'd probably butcher it. But anyway, so we received it from Hawaii in 2008. It is an endemic federal and state endangered species. We did get it under permit to have it in the continental U.S. there. It's endemic to dry forests in here, so it does very, very well in South Georgia as well and under dry conditions. It's actually used over here in xeriscape-type situations. Very attractive silvery heart-shaped leaves, pendulous pink to maroon flowers. Apparently it's used as an accent or specimen plant here. Sunny, full sun, xeriscape plantings. As I mentioned, it's been completely pest-free for us. And it blooms sporadically through the summer, but mostly under shorter days is when we get the best flowering. And we had initiated a breeding program with the Butylon X hybridum a number of years ago. And we tried to develop a uniform series using some germplasm. And one of the big problems with the butylon hybridum for us, it's a great winter crop, and so we can have it in bloom for spring sales, but a lot of them shut down in the heat of the summer. And so as part of our breeding program, we've been trying to get some heat tolerance and summer blooming, which we do have in this series that we're working with here. So we thought it might be interesting to try and hybridize the two and see what might happen. So it's an interesting cross because the butylon hybridum is actually, as you can see, 2N, 2X is 16, whereas menziesii is actually a tetraploid with a different chromosome complement there. So your base chromosome number is not going to be the same on these two, even though they're both butylons. So in 2014, we tried 15 reciprocal crosses using both parents going both ways on these. We got basically one fruit or schizocarp to form on one of the crosses using menziesii, the tetraploid, as the female, hybridum as the male, the orange plant that I showed you. So we got one fruit, four seeds in that out of all those crosses. All four seeds germinated, but three of those were fairly weak and died shortly thereafter, and only one survived. So since we were coming over to Hawaii, I thought we'd just present this information and then show you what we got. So, all right, so all the way on your left there, that's what the flower on menziesii looks like, the one that's native to Hawaii. There's our hybridum selection on the upper right. There you can see the large flower. And so you can see this F1 progeny that we got is completely intermediate. And so you have the reflex flowers on menziesii. You have the petals that actually form a tube. Whereas on hybridum, you can see that they're individual petals that don't form a tube. And so, you know, everything about the flower was pretty much intermediate between the two parents there. Oops, excuse me. So that was really nice. If we look at the parents in the F1 hybrid, so you've got the silver foliage of menziesii on the left. You've got Abutilona menziesia, the hybridum on the right, and you can see the foliage on the F1 is intermediate there. So usually the foliage on hybridum has no pubescence. Menziesia is very pubescent, and then you had intermediate pubescence on the hybrid there. So you can see a shot of the whole plant on the right here. So one of the interesting things about this particular hybrid is it drops all its old foliage. And it doesn't seem to matter how much nitrogen we give it, it just aborts its old foliage. And so it doesn't keep that really nice canopy like either of the parents do. So I guess one of the strange things of messing with the genetics there. So it is a nice plant. It is completely intermediate and just interesting from a scientific standpoint there. So the interspecific hybrid was possible. The F1 is completely sterile. The pollen does not stain. We've not gotten pollen to germinate. We've tried going back to both parents, get absolutely nothing. We did cross a diploid and a tetraploid, so it is likely a triploid. We haven't done any cytology or anything like that. Flowers and foliage of the F1, completely intermediate, just as you would expect in an F1 interspecific. They're flowers best under cooler conditions, very similar to the hybridum parent that we've got. Again, the F1 aborts its lower foliage for whatever reason. But propagation is relatively easy by either softwood or semi-hardwood cuttings. And so with that, thank you very much, and looks like we might have some time for questions. Okay? Presented too much information. Yeah, I mean, I really don't think it's, at least in the U.S., continental U.S., and in Southeast where a lot of hybridum is grown, I don't see it really competing with that. Maybe over here in using it in the native landscapes. And since it's sterile, it's not going to hybridize back with the parent to contaminate the native germplasm, which is a good thing. So certainly in xeriscape situations, where plants don't always necessarily look their best. The upper foliage looks great on it. It just has this weird characteristic of tending to drop its lower foliage. And so, like I said, we've tried upping fertilizer rates a little bit to see if that helps, and then just seems to be a trait of the plant. But it does actually have fairly nice whitish stems on it. So, yeah, make a little small something out of it. Oh, no, next step on that. Publish this information and it's completely sterile. I don't know if trying to double it again to restore fertility in the big scheme of my overall breeding program, this is interesting, but I think the commercial interest of where we might get or go with it, I don't know if it justifies much more time spending on it. Yes. Yeah. No, we just tried it with our hybridum, and most all the germplasm out there that we have access to is actually X hybridum, which is crosses between two South American species. And so this is kind of interesting, crossing a Hawaiian species with an interspecific hybrid already that's from two different South American species. But yeah, we just used the germplasm that we had since it was nice, full, had the traits. We thought it would make a good parent, and again, just kind of playing around, see what would happen with this. But unfortunately, like some other stuff we've worked with, it seems to be a dead end right now, unless we really do a lot more work to try to go somewhere with it. So.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. There's It's interesting that the three species that, at least that I'm familiar with, that are native to the Hawaiian Islands, that are small shrub, they're apparently all tetraploids with a different chromosome complement than the South American germplasm. So it's really not a lot known, as is the case with a lot of the ornamental stuff we work with. We talked to some of the agronomic guys, and they're working on, some small thing on, some section of chromosome X, and, and they asked me, I was like, we don't even know what chromosome count is on some of the stuff that, the ornamental guys work with. So whole different levels of, some of the importance of just putting this out there is, say, hey, this may be possible, and useful information, if somebody wants to follow up on it, or, so somebody doesn't spend 5 years of their career trying to reduplicate something that, Yes. That is a distinct possibility. So yeah, if we wanted to pursue this further, that would be my next step, would be to try to double that. But I don't know. You guys may know better. Is there an actual term for when you cross a tetraploid and a diploid, but they actually have different base chromosome numbers? Screwy? Aneuploid-ish? I don't know. I don't know what would happen if we actually did try to double it. Obviously, since we're not producing seed, we would have to do it vegetatively. Malvaceae tends to be a little bit resistant to doubling, based on our experience with other hibiscus. I think we could probably work at it and get it done if we decided to pursue it. So, great. Thank you very much. Thank you.